We're told that in 1815, Carolina von Humboldt, wife of Wilhelm von Humboldt, the enlightened educator, philosopher, and Prussian diplomat, set up Christmas trees in her parlor on Unter den Linden, the main thoroughfare in the Prussian capital of Berlin. Carolina described the scene and the family's Christmas Eve celebration in letters to Wilhelm, who was in Frankfurt to negotiate territorial realignments in the aftermath of Napoleon's defeat. On both ends of a long table, two small Christmas trees burn brightly with lit candles, Carolina wrote, trying to include her husband in the festivities, however far away he might be. The children, who the day before had been beside themselves with impatience, now found satisfaction. Hermann's main gifts included a theater, a very nice construction set, a squadron of Cossacks, and so on. And there was hardly room for the many presents for Carolina, Adelheid, Gabriella, August, and the rest of the company. The mood was set by the glow of the many candles and small lights and the illuminated chandelier, which made the atmosphere unusually pleasant. The holiday was a success, Carolina assured her husband. Despite his absence, the family and friends found so much joy in the holiday experience. Meanwhile, at this very time, E.T.A. Hoffmann's The Nutcracker and the Mouse King story became essential in many ways, not least because it includes a thorough description of what became the typical family celebration in modern Germany. This product of Berlin salon culture from 1816, reprinted in countless anthologies and turned into a ballet by Tchaikovsky in 1892, marked a key moment in the development of Christmas in Germany and, moreover, in the history of the senses and emotions there. Hoffmann's fairy tale foreshadowed the way the relatively austere emotional styles of the Biedermeier period would give way to the sentimental family intimacies of the late 19th century middle classes. Further, 20 years before the ballet, after victory over France and national unification in 1871, the militarization of Christmas gifts acquired a new urgency. Hildegard Wallich, daughter of a minor public official, remembered that her parents repeatedly gave her brothers tin soldiers as gifts in the mid-1880s. One always got German troops, the other French. There were infantry, cavalry, artillery regiments on both sides, with officers from all ranks, with the highest ranks and generals on horses. The tidy gender segmentation advocated in prescriptive literature could break down, however, since Hildegard enjoyed playing with her brother's gifts. The militarization of the everyday worlds of play and leisure apparently appealed to both genders. This we learn from the study Christmas in Germany by Joseph Perry. And even though the ballet was named The Nutcracker and the Mouse King lost his place in the title, E.T.A. Hoffmann's story, remember, was titled The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, the regal rodent still takes on the Nutcracker and, as we'll hear, wins the hearts of many of the children in the audience. James Patterson has played the Mouse King for over two decades with the Scranton Civic Ballet, and he's about to pass the sword to a one-time mouse, one of the troops, who is ascending to the throne this year. Scranton Civic Ballet will present its 31st production of The Nutcracker this weekend, Friday, December 8th and Saturday, December 9th, at the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple. We had a visit from Jim Patterson and Glenn Johnson to talk about Mouse King matters and more. Jim Patterson.
It was in 1996. Seems like a very long time ago. My brother-in-law was dancing with one of the dancers in the Nutcracker, and she said to me one time, you know, we need some parents in the play. I said, well, what do we have to do? You have to dance a little. I said, I don't know how to dance. She said, we'll teach you. So that's how it all started. It's her fault. It's been a great time. And I was supposed to retire completely last year, you know, at the 31st. And what happened was I come in one day and she was putting her cast together. And we knew that Glenn was going to be, you know, the Mouse King and so on and so forth. And she looks at me because I usually help out up there. And she said, I want to talk to you. I thought, uh-oh. She said, I need another dancer as a parent. I said, that's it? She says, yeah. I said, well, I guess so. It's like being with Helen's like the Godfather. They keep reeling you back in. So I said, could I pick my partner? And she said, sure. My wife, Pat, will dance with me. She doesn't know it yet, but she's... So I go home and I said, well, they want me back for another year. No, oh, she said, I thought you retired late. I said, I know, but they really need somebody. And she, my wife looks at me and she says, you didn't. I said, I did. She said, you owe me big time. But she's gotten into it now and she really enjoys it. So that's the story of my life in the Nutcracker, and it's been great.
It makes the season, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It really does. I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. And I was talking to Helen the other day, and I said, it was on a Sunday after Thanksgiving, we had practice. So I'm sitting there, I said, Helen, for the last 22 years, I know where I've been on this day, this Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's always here. And, you know, when you think about it, 22 years, but the time just kind of flies. We watch these little kids, you know, that you have in the show with you, and they just grow up so fast. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
Glenn, inheritor of the Mouse King crown, tell our listeners the story that you told us about how you came to the ballet here.
I started in the ballet because my children are in the ballet. And my eldest daughter was in the Nutcracker probably 12 years ago for the first time. And she graduated last year, or 2 years ago, I guess. And, you know, the more I watched it, the more I fell in love with it. I'd never seen it before. And it's a mesmerizing experience. And every year I love it more, if that's possible, than the last year. And it has. It's really come to define our autumns, our, you know, time before Christmas. And yeah, I deeply love it. And so then Miss Helen sort of, you know, didn't really ask. She just informed me I was going to be a parent a couple years ago, a few years ago, and then...
She doesn't ask that well. She kind of tells you.
No, yeah. And then I became a mouse as well as a parent and been watching Jim. I guess I've been watching him planning to take over, you know, and usurp his throne. So that's what's going on now.
He's great, you know, watching practice, and he's really getting into it. So that's the beauty of it. It's nice to sit back as a former king and watch it. I'll tell you, we used to call it organized grab. But I'll tell you, they've orchestrated the mice that kind of go through the routine. They're really good. And I think it gets better each year because they have all adults, and they're much taller than the kids, and that makes it comical and kind of nice.
Did you inherit the getup, the costume?
Oh, I have the getup, and they've made it a couple inches taller than Jim, so she's added some more jewels to it, apparently. We'll find out.
Yeah, you have to pass the crown on.
How do you get into your Mouse King character, then? How do you prepare?
A mask helps. I mean, I'm a shy Swede, but I put the mask on. Yeah, things change. Things change pretty quickly. But having done this for a couple of years, and as Jim said, we're getting pretty good. And in fact, I think we're going to win this year. I think we're going to take care of that kid this year. The mice are going to win.
How many times have you died,
I've
Jim?
I've died, let's see, a total of 72 times. 72 losses. No wins. Perfect record. And as far as kids, you know, you fight the Nutcracker Prince. I've gone through 9 of them. In fact, his son, Adam, he was a Nutcracker Prince. And so I'll tell you, just watching these kids grow is incredible, absolutely incredible.
As a stage parent and as a real parent, Glenn, what difference have you seen in the life of your children having taken part not just in Nutcracker, but in the dance?
Oh, there's been so many. It's been one of the most important things in their lives, I think. First of all, Miss Helen is entirely trustworthy. She's stalwart. She's solid. She's so wise. She has this authority where she just can whisper something and everybody does it. And yet she's so gentle and kind at the same time.
Yes.
And people love her and respect her. And so having my children, allowing them to have the opportunity to follow her and just to be inspired by her. And also, you know, you have defeats. You don't get every role you want. And so that's also been important for them, just to learn these effects of life.
And she said something the other day that kind of stuck with me. I thought it was pretty neat. I had the kids out there, and she said, I'm going to tell you right now. She said, I can teach you to dance, but she says, as far as acting, you have to invent your acting. So that, you know, you can't tell a kid you got to go here, there, and the other thing. She kind of directs them. But I thought, you know, that really means a lot. You know, I can teach you to dance, but I can't teach you how to act. You've got to acquire that yourself. And she inspires them to do that. And so I think that's a key.
I remember you saying, Jim, that you had some quick changes.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things. Well, Glenn will find out. Well, he knows about it from last year because he performed as a mouse. And you're a parent, and then the party scene is over, and you have very little time to get back and change. So it'll be the same thing this time. But the thing that's beautiful about it is the fact that you're always nervous. Can I make it for the next thing? But it works out. And plus, you have people backstage that help you get dressed and get ready to go. And that's the nice thing about it. And once you're all dressed, for the mice or the Mouse King, you breathe a sigh of relief. I did it. I wasn't late. But boy, those tuxedos, you're just laying on the floor, footprints on them. You're dusting them off. There's no time to hang them up.
Glenn, was your family a storytelling family? Did you and your wife tell stories to your children at any time of the year? But was that part of a ritual that you all engaged in?
Oh, it has been. It's been. It still is, actually. We've read to the children since they were in the womb, and we read to them for years. And we still read as a family. We might read The Lord of the Rings, or, we read big books together, and always have, and I hope we always will.
This seems like some part of that, the storytelling, the magic of the unfolding. And you can step into the story, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
The story, especially at times like this in our lives where the news is distressing just every day.
Geez, every day it is. That's one of the pleasures this year is the fact that you can concentrate on this and you can go through it and forget about all the other nonsense. It seems like on a daily basis it gets worse and worse. So we've got this thing that we can kind of close the real world out and live in a kind of fantasy. Just interesting, just wonderful.
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with what Jim just said. Reading about in my hometown of St. Paul, they're putting on a Nutcracker that's very modern, very updated, and they're changing everything. And I thought, I don't really want that. I want the Nutcracker to be the same. I want it to be stable. I want it to be something which sort of creates a framework that allows me to start every year. But at the same time, it changes. There's different soloists. There's different... There's a different spirit every year, but it's always the same foundation, and that's really important to me.
You grew up in the Midwest, then winter was winter.
Proper winter there, sure.
So when you see the snow come down or the tree goes up on stage, it does take us back, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think her snow scene is the best. Everything kind of comes down, and when you're out looking at that, you really think that you're outside and this is actually what's happening. So that her choreography and the stage setting for things is just amazing. You know, you have that little space and you can do so much in it. It's incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, with me it's been the same. The snow at the end of the first act, it just blows me away. And that's probably why I use the word mesmerize me, because I'm really taken out of myself when I see that.
And the music.
You have to really listen to the music, because that's what drives the whole thing. And we've tried, sometimes we'll practice without the music, and that is hard. That is very hard. But once the music starts, you're kind of into it, and it kind of moves you along, tells you what to do. And even my wife, Pat, this is her first time, she says, it's a lot better with the music. I says, yes, it is.
You feel...
Oh, yes.
...that there's a guiding...
Yeah, a guiding force.
As you were suggesting, Glenn, that it's the same and it's growing where there are differences and so forth. Will there be anything surprising or new this time?
Surprising?
Well, this will be the third year we have Edward.
Yes.
Who is a professional dancer who will come up for the Cavalier... So that's fun. I can't wait to see him dance.
Yeah, you remember Edward last year. Yes.
He was a force to be reckoned with. He was sitting in the chair, but he was bursting out of the chair.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah.
He is amazing.
So he comes up from New Orleans, and it's a big sacrifice for him. He only comes up just because he loves Miss Helen, I think.
And Robert Zaloga is another young kid who's really an up-and-comer. He's got a tremendous amount of talent.
Yeah, my daughters tell me the Russian... Something to be easy. So if you want something that's new this year, I think the Russians, pay attention to the Russians.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. We've got two. We've got Aaron and Robert. So that should be interesting. That's right.
And what was wonderful, I think, was Robert was looking up to Edward as a kind of mentor and seeing what was possible and what he has to look forward to as a dancer.
Absolutely. Watching Robert, he just says, it's amazing. It's something that's got to be inborn within him. Because I'll tell you, he is fantastic. I think he's gonna go far if he stays with it. I think he will.
Well, tell us where and when.
Well, where and when, it's going to be on Friday, December the 8th, at the Scranton Cultural Center, 7:30 performance at night. And in the morning, Friday morning, that's when we have the school kids come in, and they enjoy that as well. Then, for example, at intermission, you go out to the audience, you know, and you have Drosselmeyer, and I used to argue with Drosselmeyer all the time, they're interested in me. And it's funny, you know, he goes, no, I paved the way. But the kids are drawn to the Mousekin. They really are. So that they really think that this is the guy that really makes it. That's what I always told Bob anyway. And the other actors come out as well. So it gives the kids an idea. And then they give them a little lecture on stage as to what's going on, you know, as far as the backdrops and everything. And that's what really makes it nice. Then at night, it's at 7:30 at the Cultural Center. And then Saturday is the performance in the afternoon at 2, December 9th. And we usually have a pretty good crowd either thing.
And you've suggested, Jim, in seasons past, that there is really a letdown after the last collapse on the stage of the Mouse King.
I feel that. It's funny, it's over, you know, and now you say, you know, going to have to wait till next year. So you just, you know, you pull yourself to your feet. You don't get totally depressed, but at the same time, you realize that, you know, this is a nice part of life that you can really enjoy.
James Patterson, Mouse King Emeritus. Glenn Johnson, Mouse King in Waiting, with the Scranton Civic Ballet Company, presenting the 31st performance of The Nutcracker, the ballet by Tchaikovsky, under the direction of Miss Helen Gauss. The Friday, December 8th performance is at 7:30 p.m., and there will be a Saturday matinee, December 9th at 2, at the Scranton Cultural Center, with Edward Spotts returning to Scranton from his home base in New Orleans. On the web, scrantoncivicballet.com, scrantoncivicballet.com. Scranton Civic Ballet, presenting the 31st performance of The Nutcracker, under the artistic direction of Helen Gauss, Friday, December 8th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, December 9th at 2 at the Scranton Cultural Center. For more information, on the web, scrantoncivicballet.com, scrantoncivicballet.com.